Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Everyday Goddess. I am your grateful host, Gail Lynn, and I am here to create a sacred space where women come together and give their expression to the world. As we connect and spread the love, we are creating a new earth. So let's hear what you have to say.
Sorry about that. This is Corey Brackett, and I want to welcome you to Sweet Remedy Radio, empowering through knowledge on the Health and Harmony Radio Network. I am so glad you could join us tonight. Our mission here at Sweet Remedy Radio is to inform, not to prescribe. I want to make sure that you know that we want to provide you with different opinions from various expert sources so that you can partner with your health and wellness providers to make informed, empowered decisions about your health and life. Again, our aim is to inform, not prescribe. I'd also like to urge you to sign up for our newsletter at www.sweetremedyradio.com, where you can get updates about our shows and guests, as well as receive exclusive offers just for our subscribers. So you can sign up at www.sweetremedyradio.com. And with that, I'd like to give our guest this evening a very big welcome to the show. He's a former FDA investigator and is currently director of Public Health and Medical Fraud Cooperative and its Quality and Regulatory Affairs Unit. He's also a Vietnam veteran who graduated the U.S. Military Police Academy. His biography is filled of evidence of integrity and a jam-packed life with tons of credentials. It is my distinct honor to welcome Arthur Evangelista, also known as Dr. E, to the show. Arthur, Sweet Remedy Radio is so happy to have you here. Thank you so very much for coming on the show tonight.
Very much for having me.
First off, let's tell the listeners what you did for the FDA. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Some of my jobs, most of the investigators for FDA have a general job description, and that is answering consumer complaints and investigating and inspecting various industries and businesses for compliance with the good manufacturing practices, their quality programs, and to ensure that the food, drugs, medical devices, and everything else that is governed by or under the authority of FDA is not adulterated or misbranded. Misbranded meaning incorrect labeling, consumer fraud, where, and I'm sure everybody's noticed this, where the bottles are not filled all the way. A lot of come to think of it, I had one this evening where the bottom part of it was protruding inside to take up space, so you got less product. My particular job in my field was pesticides and chemical contaminants in foods and drug tissue residues, which pertains to antibiotics being used on animals that were earmarked for human consumption.
Really?
Yes.
What did you find with that?
I found out that doing an investigation for a cow that was culled from the rendering unit by the USDA, it was tested and found to be high in antibiotics, then they would call my office, and I was in charge of the district, and then we would conduct an investigation. Basically, what it is backtracing everywhere that cow was back to the farm and then going to the farm to see what kind of antibiotics the farmer was using. Some of these things were way out of crazy stuff. I mean, we were finding gentamicin sulfate, which is not even supposed to be used for bovine. It had a 45-day withdrawal period. Most of the time, on that particular issue, they would only grab the cow that looked sick. We're not talking about healthy-looking cows. that were chock full of antibiotics. And thus, we have a problem in this country with antibiotic-resistant bacteria, as most folks know.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's related. I didn't mean to interrupt you, though, Arthur. I do want to hear more about what you did when you were at the FDA.
Oh, well, that's basically it. I mean, we did tampering cases, drug diversions for steroids, animal steroids, anabolic steroids that were being diverted to the high school kids. I did a lot of fraud investigations. They had this, as an example, there was a wrap that they would wrap you up in, and it said, well, you would lose weight. And they were using Calgon bath oil beads as the secret ingredient. And so I went after them because a lot of people got bilked out of some of their money, and a lot of money, and they were probably operating in several states, and I had to contact all the states and say, you know, if you got these people operating this health spa, this particular health spa, that's completely a fraud, they would actually measure you and add like a half inch or a three quarters of an inch. It took two people to pull this off, and then they would weigh you, and they would make the weight an error. So you actually weighed a little more. And then they would wrap you up in these wraps and soak it in this secret solution with the Calgon bath oil beads. And then you'd go back a month later and they'd go, oh, you lost weight. So then they would measure you and they would do it correctly. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, didn't you notice your clothes were getting bigger? Apparently nobody did.
So was this a common type of occurrence for you in the FDA? Most of the people that you were going after, were you discovering that they were, in fact, fraudulent or having problems with the difference between what they were saying and what they were offering in truth?
Believe me, there is so much fraud out there. I took a lot of the specialized cases because my background in law enforcement and in medicine, I wasn't just a fresh out of college grad, getting my oars wet, but I was pretty seasoned in what I was doing, and I really enjoyed the complex, out of the ordinary type of white collar crime that I was involved with the Food and Drug Administration. Most of it entailed cover up, alteration of records. I mean, things that were hard to trace. As far as the fraud goes. And one of the reasons why I left the agency was because the FDA was guilty of this as well. So, yes, there's quite a bit of it around. And unfortunately, one of our jobs here at the public health unit, the quality and regulatory unit, is to substantiate the claims made for natural health products. Because since the FDA basically is targeting natural health products and supporting drug use, the drug industry and the allopathic medical community like the AMA and these different medical associations that are all politically aligned with one another, the natural health industry, which serves to be hundreds of thousands of times better for anyone's health, a little bit of fraud in that area gives FDA the excuse to go after these people, and they also make a lot of recommendations against natural health products, which most are very good. So anybody who commits fraud in this particular area winds up hurting the entire industry and not just themselves. So we just want everybody to understand that we watch this very closely, and when we see something, we sound an alarm. And usually the community is also very good about policing itself, so we don't really need a lot of outside investigations or activities from the government, because people usually take care of their own. When they see something wrong, they fix it, or they walk down the block to somebody's house and say, you need to stop your activity, you're hurting people, and they normally will.
That's very interesting. So what you're saying is that the natural health community is more or less pretty responsible for policing themselves.
Yes, they have to be because they're under the gun. The federal agencies reflect the mindset of the government and the corporations which are so closely enmeshed into the government. We take the FDA, they get, since the late 90s, they've gotten probably close to almost $1 billion. I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of $800-900 million from the drug manufacturers. And this is to speed up the process of new drugs. Most don't work. Most we don't need. And if we had an FDA that was at least honest about medication, the natural health industry would be flourishing right now, and the pharmaceutical industries would have to rethink their karma, their place in the whole scheme of public health. As it stands now, when I worked for FDA, they were highly politicized. They buried a lot of information. Just as an example, one of the things that came up in an investigation when I worked for them was benzene on baby nipples for the bottles, the baby bottles. High amounts of benzene, which we know now are very dangerous, and we did an investigation, and FDA did not release this to the general public. It was amazing because I never read anything about it, but yet we had this problem where recall of the rubber baby nipples were across the board. And so we have things that FDA is actually protecting the industry because of the revolving door. This revolving door enables industry corporate individuals to come into government service, and then they wind up working for the Food and Drug Administration or the Environmental Protection Agency or whoever it happens to be. And then we have people who leave federal service and go to work for Novartis or Bristol-Myers or Colgate or General Mills, and they wind up, we maintain contacts with our colleagues within the government. And so what happens is over the period of 15 or 20 years, the waters have gotten very muddied, and there's no delineation between what is being the regulatory agency overseeing the corporation, because they become one and the same. And this is an extremely serious problem that we face in this country, because the information that we are receiving is mostly corporate-sponsored or corporate-directed. And so the FDA, I mean, even though they're a public health service agency, is not performing the job that people think that it is. And so basically we have these drug recalls. Of course, several hundred people have to perish first. And that's not just the people that succumb to the deadly side effects of drugs. We're not talking about the other 200,000 that are permanently ill. A friend of mine took, I think it was Viagra, and now he has, right after doing so, he has permanent high blood pressure, and there's no way that he can turn that around. Apparently, he's had some damage to his body from this drug, and that's not to mention Viax or tamoxifen, which actually caused cancer. I mean, the list goes on.
And that's touted as a cancer treatment drug, isn't it?
Well, it was supposed to have been for, I think it was uterine cancer or cervical cancer. And what happened was the FDA knew that the tamoxifen was a problem. The company tried to whitewash it, and some other scientists, independent studies showed that it actually increased cancer risk, and the FDA allowed it anyway. And in the clinical trials, they had several deaths during the clinical trial itself, and this is before the product was ever released. So it was quickly removed off the market only because the public spotlight was on it. And sometimes that's what it takes. Without the public spotlight, without the media attention, I mean, these people would commit gross fraud against the general public on the products that they're making, and that's just on the drugs. We're not talking about the recent problem where the FDA scientists in Washington or some of the laboratories are now filing suits for the second time. For the second time, once when I was with the FDA, and now again, because the managers, the political managers, want to hide the side effects or the adverse effects. So not only do these products not work, but they're the opposite. Their chances are they're going to wind up hurting you severely.
It may not show up right away,
but if you get brain damage or, you know, they put in a pacemaker that has a habit of getting corroded wires on it and your heart stops, I mean, these are real serious problems.
So you say that when FDA goes after the natural health companies, in some ways, even though, you know, I hear in the alternative health world, I hear a lot of complaints about that, that it seems to have the effect of them policing themselves to a certain extent. But, well, actually, let me ask you this. Would you say that the same is true with the drug companies?
The drug companies, they have a different mindset. They want to treat illnesses mostly that they've created or any corporation has created. I mean, look at the environmental mess we have now. We have mercury. We have toxins everywhere. Our bodies get assaulted daily from formaldehyde in the carpeting to, you know, aspartame that's called natural flavors, and it's hidden in, you know, supposedly health food bars that you can buy and eat as a snack, or protein bars, and, you know, melamine in the baby's milk, and, you know, mercury in the fish, and nobody knows, you know, the general public is looking at this corporate government operating, and, you know, historically, anytime the government gets involved with something, you wind up with a train wreck. It's just the basically, they have an agenda, and if you get an opportunity to understand what this agenda is, the pharmaceutical companies, in order for them to operate, they require a certain amount of sick people. So if you were to take away the clientele of the pharmaceutical company, then that particular company will suffer. I've always said to myself, why a pharmaceutical company would not get into the natural health care and do it right, because they have the facilities to do it right. I mean, they have multi-million dollar labs and, I mean, everything else going for them. But if you think about this, number one, the drug company must, the profit motive. So if you introduce that, so the pharmaceutical company for making these drugs, they have to have so many sick people. And I'm thinking that a lot of these drugs, which always have side effects, they're chemical laden, they will have adverse effects, they hardly work. Most of the time they don't work. And the president of GlaxoSmithKline said that publicly. He said, you know, 98% of the drugs that we manufacture don't work. I mean, anybody can run a clinical trial and get with the kind of results that they want, so FDA will okay it. But if you think about this, between World War II and Vietnam, every year in this country, drugs kill more people, pharmaceutical drugs, prescription pharmaceutical drugs kill more people than those two wars combined every year. Every year, you're looking at 150,000 to 200,000 deaths, and that does not even bring into the person's conscious mind the fact that, okay, we've had this many deaths, but how many more have been permanently injured, have gone blind? You look at vaccinations, which are inherently dangerous, not only because of the mercury, but because they don't work. And a lot of people come down with the very diseases the vaccines were designed to eradicate. So these are very dangerous. I mean, they have formalin or formaldehyde in them. They have ammonium sulfate in them as preservatives. Aluminum has been associated with a lot of brain damage, Alzheimer's, and several other mechanisms that erode away at the neurons. And yet they're building up this big thing about bird flu, and they're almost talking like it was going to be a certainty, like someone up in Washington, D.C. had a crystal ball and said, yes, we're going to have a spectacular or horrendous bird flu epidemic here in a couple of months. Well,
yes, there was a girl in China just today who was discovered as being critical, who had bird flu.
Well, I had a conversation with someone about that earlier, and I said, you know, isn't it unusual that they would go all the way to China and find one little girl who had bird flu to bring it home to the United States and pose this as a media extravaganza so they freak everybody out, so they all run to their local physician, allopathic medical doctor, and get stuck with a vaccine. I got a call from someone down home in North Carolina who their grandson, and they're suing the people that did this, he was 2 years old, never got vaccinated, was being homeschooled, and he got 8 vaccines in succession. And a week later, the child was exhibiting signs of autism, was extremely ill. Now they're trying to detoxify the child, and there's many, many problems. It's already a proven fact. Vaccines are actually killers. And if you they're destructive of a child. I mean, I got one tetanus shot. I remember my arm being like it frozen in that position for a week. I had a temperature of 102, and I'll never forget that because I was having a lot of problems from that tetanus shot when I had cut myself when I was younger, and I must have been 16, 17 at the time, and I'll never get another one again. I was ill for 2 weeks, and I was thinking to myself, man, this was worse than getting myself cut on glass. So it's a fear-based, disease-based program. That is our public health program in this country. They treat the disease, they ignore the human being, and like I said, there's a motive behind it. And nowadays, we always have to look at what the motives are. And they are deathly afraid that people are going to gain information. And as your show most astutely extols, is that information, knowledge is empowerment. And if you think about the media that we get, the TV news, which is basically not news, I had another word for it, but I probably couldn't say that on the air.
Thank you, Arthur.
I mean, we're not getting the information. The FDA intentionally restricts information about natural health products because some moron in the agency or the public health service said that only drugs can cure a disease. Only drugs can affect the way a person feels. Only a drug can heal you.
But wait a minute. From what I understand, most drugs are derived from herbs or something else that's truly natural. Isn't that true?
I don't think that that is completely accurate. Nowadays, most drugs are synthetic. They're chemical anomalies. I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they're synthetic in their final form, but aren't they their first way that they're like discovered? To use an old example, like Valium comes from valerian root, and aspirin. Salicylic acid, and it comes from white willow bark. You know,
well,
those things. It seems like, you know, if these drugs are eventually developed, you know, yes, they're synthetic in their final form, but from what I understand, they originate, their first inspiration, I guess, on the drawing room table, let me put it that way, is natural.
Well, I'm sure they start out that way. I think like Splenda, as another example, this is probably one easier that most listeners could probably get, had started out as a sucrose sugar molecule, and then they chlorinated it, and then they did some other chemical reactions. I mean, it was a very long process to get Splenda into a compound called sucralose, but it was chlorinated, and if you look at the molecular structure of Splenda and then compare it to the molecular structure of DDT, because most pesticides are chlorocarbons, it was one atom off, and it was so close. And since the liver and the body cannot metabolize chlorine, and thus we have shower filters and water filters and things like this to get the chlorine out of it. So then they put it in a sugar product, which doesn't make any sense. But like I said, there was a profit motive. So all of these products, whether they come from initially valerian root, like a natural product, or like aspirin, acetylsalicylic acid, which is from I forget the name of the tree that grows this stuff, and then they refine it, and the reason why they do that is because the corporations cannot patent things that grow in your backyard, and so they do all these crazy things to it and make them toxic. And then they go out and then they tell everybody how this is a wonder drug and this is going to help you. And, you know, if that happens, and then, you know, later on you have death and illness and injury from these products, that is the sole result of the patenting process and the synthetic programs that they use to synthesize these drugs and foods and anything else that they can patent, because that's money. That's money for their board of directors, their profit motive. That's the reason why they exist.
So I want to understand something, Arthur. If the drug companies start with something like an herb to formulate their patentable drugs, what type of logic on the governmental side of things can turn around and say this drug harms the life is okay, you know, this drug that harms the liver is okay, but this wilderness herb that has been used for centuries without issue by the native people where it grows, that herb might be toxic? I don't understand how they can say that. What type of logic do they have to use? I mean, is everyone in your experience with FDA, are they, how do they get around that in their head? What type of doublespeak do they use to justify that?
That's an interesting question. I would say there's a lot of good folks that work for the FDA, and we do need an FDA looking over our foods, but they're not doing the job that we're paying them for, and they're using their expertise and authority to, and as I said, they are so closely enmeshed with these companies nowadays, like the Coca-Cola. Well, FDA and Coca-Cola have had some words recently over their authority, but the fact of the matter is this. The profit motive of the pharmaceutical companies gets circulated around. Some of it goes to Congress and PAC money, and we know with the lobbyists how powerful that they can be, which is blatant bribery as far as I'm concerned, and that needs to come to a complete stop right now. So the FDA is corrupted. The corruption, and I'm going to use that, it's almost as if it was organized crime, because basically that's what it boils down to. We have an organized criminal enterprise operating within the government and the corporate government, because I don't see that everything that points to it, these bailouts and everything else, the government's overtaking all these corporations. And so if you look at the motive, why would the FDA not support something that is natural and tell you that these other products that are being manufactured by the pharmaceutical cartel are good for you, despite the fact that they harm people? And why does it take so long to get this off the market? Look at aspartame is still on the market, and that's highly neurotoxic. We have a product like stevia. That is a natural sweetener that my diabetics can consume it. It has nutrients in it. It doesn't have very many calories, a couple, that's all, but it is actually nutritious. It prevents dental caries, and it's not adulterated. It doesn't have any other chemical. It grows naturally in various parts of the world. But the FDA will not allow stevia as the whole plant, or the stevia side, which is the powdered form, because it will infringe on the profit motive of the pharmaceutical cartel. And why will they do that? Because a lot of the pharmaceutical people now work in the FDA, and vice versa. And this is with every industry. I mean, we have people that work for the oil company, then he becomes the head of the Department of Labor or the Department of Interior. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, these jobs, these people are switching hats, and you have to look at someone's history and where their sympathies lie, and their sympathies are with the corporations, not with the American public, not with public health, but they are so steeped in this corruption that it's going to take, everyone getting together and saying we've had enough, but it's going to take a unified voice to do that with everyone. So that's the reason why we have this problem.
I mentioned in Sweet Remedy, my documentary, it's available on my site, that GMO foods, for example, genetically modified foods, there was such a huge outcry in Europe over them through the public, that they weren't approved for use over there. But over here, people seemed apathetic, completely apathetic. And so the same companies that operate both in the UK, for example, and over here, will have two sets of ingredients, one with GMO foods and one without, for Europe. What do you think that needs to happen, or what can happen to help spur people out of their apathy and into action?
You know, I wish I had an answer, and I don't know. I think there's a couple of things that come to mind, and if I can speak freely about that. One is we have become a society that is becoming increasingly dependent upon other people solving our problems. That's number one. We always think somebody else will do it, or somebody else can fix it, or the government can fix it. And the government will gladly assume control over whatever it is that you have a problem with, but, you know, at the same time, they take it out of your control, and they mess it up, and it gets perverted, or it gets corrupted. And so that's the first thing. We have to assume, as the banner on your website says, knowledge is empowerment. So we have to be a lot more responsible for ourselves. And you can readily see this. You know, a child is at a playground and he falls off and breaks his arm, and the parents want to sue the community. you know, 50 years ago, we never did that. The child fell off the slide. Okay, he'll learn next time. We take him home. We get his hand bandaged up. We don't have to sue anybody. But this is the kind of society. Nobody wants to assume responsibility. And you know what the interesting thing is? We the people, the American population of the United States, does have all the power, with the exception that we are not using it. So it just lays there, and we expect everyone else to solve our problems. That's why we have an increase in lawyers, because two people can't sit down and have a conversation. And we need to get out of that mindset. We need to be like our pioneer forefathers were. We assume responsibility for our life. Nobody's perfect. Everybody can fall down and break an arm or do something silly, and they pay for it. But we don't have to go around making society pay for it. Like the fellow who took the Pledge of Allegiance out of school because his daughter was offended. Well, you know, so
maybe the other 19 people weren't.
Right, exactly. So, you know, the government is siding with these people, and it's going against the grain of the American population as a whole, because nobody is standing up and saying, you know what, this is not right. And we have to do that en masse. The second thing that we need to really take a look at is that, you know, we do have a lot of corruption in government. I mean, we have things that are just, the Constitution was supposed to be a part of our spirit because it was written. It's a living document, and many things have taken away our freedoms and liberties to exercise how we want to conduct our health, how we want to raise our children, whether we want to do it vaccine-free, what kind of foods they will eat. I mean, it's very hard to find natural foods. Everything in the stores today are either GMO, I mean, they're genetically modified. We have problems with drift into other fields. We have corporations that are so arrogant only because that they have so many people working for the government, this enmeshment that I had mentioned earlier. The government backs these large corporations, and then when someone wants to go to court and get a redress of grievances, they're playing against a stacked deck. And when you cannot get your grievances addressed, then you have tyranny. And unfortunately, we're heading in that direction because it looks like the corporations have overtaken the FDA, the EPA. I mean, they roll back emissions. And then later they have an argument between EPA and the FDA about mercury in the fish. You know, they're destroying the planet with so many poisons and toxins, and then they're taking away the people's ability to be able to handle health-wise to fight these toxins off by natural products. And so the FDA, by being enmeshed with the pharmaceutical companies, which is basically they're one and the same now, the natural remedies pose a very real profit threat to the pharmaceutical firms. And so it's a corruption, this concerted effort to, number one, restrict information about natural remedies, and two, prevent natural remedies by imposing unrealistic constraints, like these new GMPs that just came out for the natural supplement industry.
That stands for good manufacturing practices?
Exactly. And most small supplement companies only have a few employees. They're not big places. They're mom and pop. I mean, I know people making probiotic, and they're doing a good job. I mean, they may be doing it in their basement. I mean, there might be some changes, I think, that would be good for quality. But for the most part, they're not harming anybody, and they actually work. I'd say 95% of these things actually work. And the FDA and the pharmaceutical firms and everyone else, the American Medical Association, the American Dental Association. Look how long they denied that mercury amalgam fillings in teeth were not a problem. And if a dentist ever said that, he was probably going to lose his license. So that red flag by itself would suggest that the government regulatory agencies are now controlled by the corporations.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's as much a matter of scientific research and people in the forum and the spirit of discovery than, than as much the profit motive, as you'd mentioned before.
Firms are very closely allied with the chemical manufacturers, petrochemical industry. These people are making biotoxins for the Department of Defense. So it is not in the financial interest of the pharmaceutical industry to prevent common disease. As a precondition to every pharmaceutical firm in the United States, the precondition is the expansion of disease, and that will continue their profit. And that is in direct contradiction to public health. So anybody who wants to stay healthy, number one, I think drugs serve a purpose. And their purpose is under emergency conditions only, or in a state where the person has an acute illness, where a drug is fast-acting, and at that time the side effects and adverse reactions should be set aside so the person will live. But once that occurs, then they should go on a natural food or a natural product regime, because the natural food industry, and this is the correct way, this is, I think, what God intended, is that you must take care of the entire body. Cancer research is a fraud. The Cancer Association is a criminal organization because they're stealing money. It's called wire fraud, racketeering. But they're trying to treat cancer with chemotherapy, which actually accelerates a person's demise, rather than giving them, say, green food, natural vegetables and fruits. And these will actually heal cancer. But see, if you say that, then the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, will wind up on my front steps saying that I'm going against the public health, because they said that only drugs can heal, only drugs can be used for certain things, and their definition of drug was formed and developed in such a way. So it purposely excluded the natural remedies that are available, that I think a lot more people are getting to understand that do work, and I think a lot more people are looking at this, what's going on here, and I do hope that the education process in this country from one person to another is making them sit up and realize, saying, hey, there's some serious problems here, and it could kill you.
I completely agree with you, Arthur, on that one. You know, I think the way I see it in a lot of ways is the human body is a microcosm for the earth, and we've taken the earth, which is kind of a lot like our body in a larger scale, and we've treated it like a garbage dump for so many years, just like we've treated our bodies like a garbage dump. And then we wonder why there's a problem, and we do either the garbage dump analogy, or we look at it as we're superior to our bodies or superior to the earth, and we try to control it. And when we do that, what I've observed personally, is what usually seems to happen is that the world or our bodies, Mother Nature, begins to rebel against this and takes charge again, whether we like it or not. And it seems very much filled with hubris for us as human beings to say that we can do any better than nature.
Well, you're exactly right. And the FDA and the drug pharmaceutical industry and the petrochemical industry, they do not want you to know this. And just as an example, let me show you how the drug industry will pervert a study. So they'll come out and tell you that vitamin D doesn't work, or they'll give an insufficient amount during a trial and say, well, this doesn't heal cancer, or they'll do something to it where it doesn't function properly. Like I said, if you were dishonest, you could control a trial or a test, especially if the pharmaceutical company is paying for it, and you can get whatever result you want. And we rely on these scientific results to make decisions about what we want to eat and what drugs we're going to take to help ourselves get healthy. As an example, during my detox, I was getting really bad migraines, and someone suggested to me, if you take St. John's wort, which is used for a calming effect for mild depression, if you do this while you're having a migraine, the migraines will lessen or cease with St. John's wort. So I started doing that, and what happened was my migraines went away. About 6 months after that occurred, Duke University, this doctor, decided that he would do a study on St. John's wort. Now, this is on my website, by the way.
Give us your website, Arthur.
Okay, it's http://, without the triple W's, it's just qualityassurance.synthesite.com. Synthesite is SYNTHASITE. It's http://qualityassurance.synthesite.com.
Now, cool. And we also have a link to it on sweetremedyradio.com in case people just don't quite get it. You know, we haven't been able to write it down, but we do have it there so people can go there to go to your site, because you've got a lot of information, a lot of really well-articulated and well-thought-out and well-researched information there.
We want to be honest and truthful with people. If we find something wrong, we'll say so. We have no problem.
It's important, Arthur. You know, we have someone in our chat room who has written a question for us, and I want to mention it before we run out of time, because it's been an enlightening hour, or less than an hour, but coming around to the hour. I have a question. I have a question. I needed to get an MMR vaccine about 5 years ago for employment. Ever since then, I have been experiencing severe joint pain and pain throughout my body. Could this be a reaction? I need to mention before we mention anything about this is that neither one of us are medical doctors. So, but have you heard of particular reactions and responses to the MMR vaccine, Arthur?
Several, and similar to what this gentleman has expressed in his note. And it's a very possible, without knowing any of the
I hear she in capital. So it's a woman, not a gentleman.
Okay, I apologize. It's quite possible, without knowing her medical history or without knowing what her lifestyle is like, I would absolutely suggest to this young lady to pursue and investigate this further. My contact information is on my website, and I would welcome anybody that had some questions or needed some guidance on looking into her research. I don't mind helping anybody out for a while. I mean, you know, I can do that and guide them into where to look and what kind of information they should be looking for. Is there any other callers or questions that you might have, Corey?
That was the primary one that we had so far. Yeah, we've gotten some comments, but that's been about it. I was curious about something that you mentioned earlier. I've been really interested in this lately, And when you mentioned it, I meant to get back to it, and this was maybe a half an hour ago. And I haven't gotten a chance to yet because there have been so many fascinating things we've been talking about. But you mentioned melamine, and that has been coming up in the news quite a bit. When I looked on your website, you had done quite a bit of research on this, haven't you?
Yes, we did. My team and I did, and it's kind of funny. Melamine was being used as a protein filler in the baby's milk overseas, and FDA was really condemning it, and then all of a sudden we did testing here in the United States, and melamine popped up, and they're allowing one part per million. That is 1 milligram per kilogram. That's quite a bit for an infant. And that's arbitrary. There are no long-term human studies except the immediate and acute illnesses that were resulted in the consumption of melamine over a very short period of time. Kidney stones to be with a majority of them. There's been a couple of deaths. Thousands of people have been sick.
Is this only in China, or is this in this country as well?
It's in this country, and it's been showing up often, a lot more. They make plastic out of it, and it's used in conjunction with melamine, is formaldehyde, cyanuric acid combinations. It's actually, it starts off as urea and formaldehyde, and it's processed.
Which is urine, isn't it? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Pardon me?
Isn't urea a sterilized, so to speak, form of urine?
Yes, exactly. So then FDA makes a complete 180. Now, this is an indicator of the industry influence. And they say, okay, since it's been popping up in American food, American products, and that's the reason why all the dogs died, is that we had pet problems as well, we'll allow one part per million. And that's arbitrary. I mean, they haven't a clue. But for the fact that these American companies are so enmeshed with the regulatory agencies, the FDA decided that they would have to do something to defend melamine showing up in the food rather than taking the correct action, which is to get it out of the food. Do the correct thing. So instead of getting it out of the food, they're going to allow one part per million, which is basically 1 milligram per kilogram.
So it just because it sounds pretty.
I don't know why they did it. They can't substantiate this through any formal scientific data. Now, the kicker to this is melamine, and this is just for melamine. You add cyanuric acid into it, and it becomes about 100 times more toxic. But melamine is very rarely found by itself. See, that's the interesting part. So the FDA tells you, okay, you're allowed to have, I don't like anybody telling me I'm allowed to have melamine in my milk if you drink milk, but I know infants need to do this. And so cyanuric acid is a disinfectant, and it may be part of the disinfecting process where they clean the utensils at these companies, and there is a residual formation of film from the cyanuric acid on the tabletops or in the bottling manufacturing factories. So instead of changing the disinfectant to say something that is cleaner, that will be biologically safe, environmentally safe, instead of doing that, they say, okay, we're gonna post a tolerance for one part per million. So that judgment is corrupted. That's malfeasance.
Mm-hmm.
Other than turning around to General Mills or Colgate or any of these other companies that make milk or baby food or Gerber or whoever it is, say, look, you have 90 days to get this cleaned up and alter your manufacturing processes so we have zero tolerance of melamine. But they didn't do that. And by the fact that they didn't do that is a very clear sign that your health and my health does not matter, and they're protecting the profits of the corporation. It's a clear sign of that. But nobody, you have to think of motive. You have to think of in terms of, if you were a policeman and you were going after a criminal and they committed murder, what would be the motive? And so you rule out a random killing because there's just too much coincidence here, and we don't believe in coincidence. And so then you have to come down with a motive. And so the motive is that the FDA, the United States government, wants to get rid of natural food. They're going after specifically supplements, herbals, these remedies that cure naturally, that cure the whole body. They're going after food. They're going to make dead food. It's either processed or irradiated or whatever else. They're heating it so much, like, they wouldn't allow regular cow's milk like my grandmother used to drink. She'd go out and milk the cow, bring it in the house, give it to the neighbors. I mean, that was great stuff. But now you have so many antibiotics in the animals. You have the bovine somatotropin hormone that will increase the milk production of the animals, which actually makes them sick, gives them ulcers on their nipples, and so you get pus, bacteria, hormone that doesn't belong in there, antibiotics that don't belong in there. And a lot of this is not affected by the heat. So then they heat the milk up. They say that they're going to kill the bacteria, but if you kill the bacteria, you kill everything. You kill the good food.
You know, Arthur, this is one of my pet topics, and I think that we need to bring you back to talk about this and lots of other things. But we also have a question. I want to get this in. We've only got 2 minutes remaining. Okay. Do you want to take it?
Sure.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Caller, you're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, good. 2 minutes. Well, I came across an article. FDA scientists are accusing their own administration, of corruption and intimidation, scientific censorship. And I got this off of naturalnews.com. And Mike Adams.
Can you turn down your radio, caller, or TV or something?
How about that? Okay. And
thanks.
Perfect. Anyway, this article is saying that FDA scientists are, sort of trying to strike back and point the finger, so to speak, at the FDA, the higher ups, and let them know that they're getting fed up. Do you know about any of this going on? I don't see it in mainstream media, so.
Oh,
well,
that's an awesome question.
You won't see that, but yes, these people are morally straight. There were a lot of street investigators like myself that were trying to do the right thing. I signed up for protecting the public health, not to play politics. And now you have a group of scientists that are doing these studies for, I think it was in the Center for Devices and Radiological Health. But it should be across the board in FDA because this problem is rampant. And, these scientists are fighting back. They're angry because the decisions that these managers are making, these political corporate decisions within the regulatory agency, are adversely affecting the public health. And so I think for the moral responsibility for these scientists to go home and be able to look themselves in the mirror at night, I think they're having a hard time, so they decided to fight back, and I think they're doing the right thing, and I would support them 100%.
Arthur, thank you. That is a wonderful point to end this fantastically enlightening evening on. I appreciate it. It gives us all hope, actually. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. Have a great night, Arthur. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Corey. I really appreciate it.
I want to really quickly remind you all you listeners out there, to sign up for our updates and special offers at www.sweetremedyradio.com. And join us next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Pacific when we have another fantastic guest. Have a great night.